Little red one, the raise your light, the difference of 12-star parked up inside of turning congregation on about the road on every year, Texas. Today is August 17, 2021. We will start our first service with a song entitled The Love of Y'all. The love of Yah is great and far, and higher can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star, and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair, but young will care, your daily son to bring. His every child he reconciled, and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of your rich and pure, a measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, as sings an angel's song. When hoary times shall pass away, an earthly throne and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call. Yes, love so sure shall still endure, oh, measureless and strong. Till Adam's ray, the sense an angel's song. Oh, love of your rich and pure, a measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, sends an angel's song. Could we with thee the ocean fill, and were the skies a cosmic lake, with every storm on earth a quill, and every man a strut a train, let the love of your fall drain the ocean dry. Not that the scroll contain the whole, no steps from star to star. Oh, love of your rich and pure, a measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the sense an angel's song.
The Fruits of the Anointed One, Timely Readings, Volume 1, Number 41. This is a review of where we ended on our study, the one before. We're going to continue now with this thought about the Anointed One. Let's go to the Scriptures in 1 Samuel 16:13. Then Samuel took the horn of the oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of Yahweh came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went unto Ramah. All right, let's go to 2 Samuel 2:4. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh Gilead were they that buried Saul. And it's 2 Samuel 5:3. So all the elders of Israel came unto the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Yahweh, and they anointed David king over Israel. But you know, that anointing still stands to this very day. That's the same thing as anointing everyone of those that sit upon the throne of David, clear down to this very day. And so therefore, those that are of the house of David today are following an anointed ministry. Okay. The Adventist Church had this anointing in their beginning. And every feeding pastor of the Adventist Church, every step of the genuine movement of the Seventh-day Adventist was an anointed movement. Each leader that Yahweh has raised up has been spiritually anointed. Okay, let's continue with that thought. Isaiah 61:1-2. For the Spirit of Yahweh is upon me, because the Yahweh hath anointed me for the preaching of the good tidings unto the meek. For he hath sent me for the binding up of the brokenhearted, for the proclaiming liberty unto the captives, and for the opening of the prison unto them that are bound, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahshua, and for the day of the vengeance of our Elohim, and for to comfort all that mourn. These are the two verses that the Yahweh read, Yeshua read, as he stood in the synagogue of the city of the Nazareth. For the place where he was brought up, he read these verses, and then sat down without making any comment. As his listeners were still in a stupor as to why he had read and then had sat down without adding a word, Yahshua rose again and said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." For the reason given for the Spirit's power upon him is that the Yahweh Elohim had anointed him for the preaching of the good tidings unto the meek. For the implying that if Yahweh had not anointed him to preach, the Spirit of Yahweh would not have been on him. Moreover, he was anointed for the preaching unto the meek, unto those who are not self-sufficient, not high-minded, but humble and teachable. For the other class could not be taught. For he was to comfort all that mourn, for the binding up of the brokenhearted, for the proclaiming liberty unto the captive, not for the freeing them immediately, for the acceptable year of the Yahshua is at a time that in the scripture will find its fulfillment. For the time that the prophecy is unsealed and proclaimed. For those who give no heed unto the prophecy are to be swept away in the day of his vengeance. For these are the good tidings for which Yahshua was anointed. Unbelief and indifference is revealed. Truth is an insult unto Yahweh and a sin against the Holy Spirit, who leads into all of the truth. This is where we ended our last study. Let us continue on now. It says, for simply, because the Savior is with the preaching of these two verses, however, we must not conclude that the whole chapter was then fulfilled, or that the fulfillment of these two verses could not again be fulfilled at the time that the rest of the chapter is with the fulfillment. As the same Spirit was and is also upon the apostles, upon those who furthered the Yahshua's message in that day, so also it must be in this day, in the day of the whole chapter is fulfilled. In the day that this whole chapter is fulfilled. For the duty of those who proclaim this chapter's message is Isaiah 61:3, for the appointing unto them that mourn in the Zion, for the giving unto them beauty for the ashes, and the oil of joy for the mourning, for the garment of the praise, for the spirit of the heaviness, that they might be called trees of the righteousness, as the planting of the Yahshua, that he might be glorified. For the burden of the Spirit is for the improving of the spiritual conditions of those who mourn in the Zion. The Seventh-day Adventist, now defunct church, to give them beauty for ashes, for repentance and humbleness, all of the joy for the morning, present truth that hopefully lightens the rest of the way, and garments character of praise, so that they be as a living ornament of the righteousness, a new creation of Yahweh, that he be glorified. Here is seen that the original creation of Yahweh, which has been lost through sin, is to be restored. Now is the acceptable day for the opening of your heart to take in the present truth, to recreate and restore that which was lost through sin. So what is our commission? Anointed, set aside, for what? For a special work of restoring. So we are restorers. Those of us that takes up the cross of Calvary and follow it to the end with a ministry for the uplifting and restoring of the world. Isaiah 61:4. And they shall build the old ways, they shall raise up the former desolation, and they shall repair the waste cities, and the desolations of the many generations. For those who are made glad and beautiful, who are clothed with the praise, and who become trees of the righteousness, as the planting of the Yahshua, his triumphant servants, the guileless Ezra's and Nehemiah's of today, are for the restoring of all things. So this is our commission, folks. Been laid on our shoulders, been laid on our hearts, and we have no other choice if we wish to please our Creator, the one that created us, just like He created His Son, the firstborn. Isaiah 61:5. Any stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. The strangers and the aliens here mentioned are not the strangers and aliens unto the kingdom of Yahweh, but unto the nation that is not a blood relation, unto the Judah and Israel, not of the stock of Jacob, not of the 144,000 who first stand on the Mount Zion, but with them, Isaiah 61:6, that ye shall be named the priests of the Yahweh. Men shall call you the ministers of our Elohim. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall you boast yourself. In the forthcoming antitypical kingdom of the Judah, which actually is the same thing as the antitypical kingdom of the David, if you're going to put Judah there, you can just as easily put David also, because Judah is the lawgiver, and David's kingdom is set up on the strength of the Judah being given the birthright as the lawgiver. Therefore, there shall be two groups of the people, ministers and laity. From these scriptures we see that the kingdom of Yahweh, the Seventh-day Adventist congregation, purified, free from the terror, is a real thing. It is not something imaginary, not something foamy, floating, and lost in space, but right here on the earth. Isaiah 61:7. For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them. For these ministers of the Yahweh are for the having of the double because of the shame that they have endured, all such rejoice in their portion. Are you disposed to suffer for the Yahshua's sake? Are you like or unlike those who seek joy and friendship from the world, and who sooner or later are to find themselves in a great disappointment, believe that it is all? Isaiah 61:8. For I, the Yahweh, love judgment. I hate robbery for burnt offering. And I will direct their work in the truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them. Judgment and justice is the Elohim's motto for all his creatures. For the statement, I hate robbery for burnt offering, implies that such unbecoming things are now practiced among his people. In this connection, some years ago, I heard a certain member of the congregation say that in some kind of gambling, he had won a little money, and as his conscience urged him to keep it, he gave it as an offering to his church. Also, I have heard several say that they work on the Sabbath, but that they turn the Sabbath's earnings over to the church. These incidents may serve as samples of how foolish, how uneducated, and the things of Yahweh are the people of Yahweh. By the bringing such offerings to him, they are making Yahweh a gambler and a Sabbath breaker. At the same time, they imagine that they are doing him a great favor. For Yahweh's promise unto his people is, I will direct their work in the truth, Are we then to question his ability to perform and at the same time expect him to give us a home in his kingdom? Isaiah 61:9. It says that, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All that see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the seed which the Yahweh hath blessed. What a blessed hope, what a power for the saving of both the young and the old, and for the making their names known worldwide. For such a fame as it, people would go through almost any torture known unto mankind. Yahweh, though, is only asking you to believe and to comply with his word. Yes, that is all. Christianity is to become a real thing. So real that the Gentiles will acknowledge that such Christians can only be of the planting of the Yahweh, and that only the power of the Yahweh can bring such a change in the human heart and cause his saints to say, Isaiah 61:10, that I will greatly rejoice in the Yeshua. My soul shall be joyful in my Elohim, for he hath clothed me with the garments of the salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of the righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with the ornaments, and as a bride adorneth himself with her jewels. For this chapter of the Isaiah, the prophet, is indeed to bring revival and reformation, such as has never taken place since the beginning of sin. Yahweh forbid that any one of us should miss the experience and the blessing that comes through this revival and reformation. Isaiah 61:11. For as the earth bringeth forth her bread, and as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Yahweh Elohim will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Through the seed of the truth in the heart, this experience will come unto the Yahweh's people as naturally as does the earth cause the seed sown in it to bud and bring forth fruit. This is indeed the righteousness of Yahshua, not the might of man. Summing up this study, we learn that the fruits of the Anointed One are these: that Yahshua was anointed for the preaching of the good news, news that he was to open the prison door of the sin, for the binding up of the wounds of the Yahweh's people, for the proclaiming of the acceptable year of the Yahweh, for the comfort of those who mourn, and to give all an opportunity to escape the day of the vengeance. That because he was thus anointed, he was fitted to comfort them that mourn in Zion, to bring beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the gift of praise in the face of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, and that Yahweh might thereby be glorified, that through the gifts of the Spirit, his people shall be enabled to build up the desolated places of the many generations, that those who are called now are to be ministers of Yahweh, and they shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and glory in them, and strangers and aliens shall be their shepherds and fine dressers, that then their shame and confusion will be changed into the everlasting joy, that as Yahweh hates robbery, he will direct the work in the truth and make an everlasting covenant with them, that know him, that then their seed shall be known unto the Gentiles and among the people, and they will acknowledge that Yahweh has blessed his people, that because of the Anointed One's clothes, his people with the garment of salvation and the robe of the righteousness. The testimony of his children will be, I will greatly rejoice in the Yahweh. And as the bride adorns herself with the jewels, so the spiritual adornment given through these gifts will bring on the revival and reformation. And that as the nature brings to fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the anointed one will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. You get that? Read that again. And that as the nature brings unto fruition the seed sown in the ground, so the anointed one, this is the house of David now, the one that's speaking to you right now, the anointed one, antitypical Elijah David, with the opening up of the prophecies and the present truth today, this is what will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. But it has to be done through an anointed one. Ample provisions have been made for all who sincerely, earnestly, and thoughtfully set about the work of perfection, holiness, and the fear of the Yahweh. Strength, grace, and glory have been provided through the Yasir to be brought by the ministering angels and to the heirs of salvation. None are so low, so corrupt, and vile that they cannot find in Yasir who died for them strength, purity, and righteousness. If they will put away their sins, cease their course of iniquity, and turn with the full purpose of the heart unto the living Yahweh, He is waiting to strip them of their garments stained and polluted by the sin, and to put upon them the white, bright robes of the righteousness. And He bids them live and not die. In Him they may flourish. Their branches will not wither, nor be fruitless, if they abide in Him. They can draw sap and nourishment from Him, be imbued with His Spirit, walk even as He walked, overcome as He overcame, and be exalted unto His own right hand. Testimony, Volume 2, page 453, by the Ellen G. White. So, there is a song here that closes up Time of Greetings, Volume 1, number 41. It's entitled, There's a Wideness in Yah's Mercy. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy. This is a poem, or it can be sung as a song. There's a wideness in Yah's mercy, like the wideness of the sea. There's a kindness in His justice, which is more than liberty. There is welcome for the sinner and more graces for the good. There is mercy with the Savior. There is healing in His blood. For the love of Yah is broader than the measure of man's mind, and the heart of the Eternal is most wonderfully kind. If our love were but more simple, we should take Him at His word, and our lives should be all sunshine in the sweetness of our King. Frederick W. Faber wrote that little jingle. Let us continue now with our Time of Greeting, Volume 1, Number 42. Zion's Reward and Yahweh's Mighty Effort. The Year of His Redeemed, the Sign of the Day of the Vengeance. Text for prayer. Our only hope of overcoming I shall read them out of the blessing beginning on the page 205, the last paragraph. For the only hope for us, if we would overcome, is to unite our will unto Yahweh's will, and work in the cooperation with Him, hour by hour, and day by day. We cannot retain self and yet enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. If we ever attain unto the holiness, it will be through the renunciation of the self and the reception of the mind of the Yahshua. For the pride and self-sufficiency must be crucified. Are we willing for the pain of the price required of us? Are we willing to have our will brought into the perfect conformity unto the will of Yahweh until we are willing, the transforming grace of Elohim cannot be manifest upon us. We shall now kneel and pray for the understanding that our hope of the having a home in the Yahweh's kingdom, which would be this kingdom of David set up here in these last days, to begin the introduction into the kingdom of heaven that is to come down out of heaven and to make its resting place upon the plains and nestle among the mountains of Israel in the promised land. Depends upon uniting our will with His will and upon the laboring and the cooperation with Him, that the holiness depends upon renouncing self and accepting Yahshua, that the pride has no place in the Christian's heart, that the transformation of the grace of the Elohim is obtained by our conforming unto His Word. Okay, end of that prayer thought. Let's continue now. Zion's reward and Yahweh's mighty effort. Text of address, May the 24th, 1947, by the V.T. Harketh. For we shall study the 62nd chapter of Isaiah. The very first things we need to know about this chapter is whether it was written especially for the people of today or especially for the people of yesterday, and whether its message is to be given unto the Seventh-day Adventist congregation or unto the world. For the finding out, we shall read the 11th verse of Isaiah 62. Behold, the Yahshua hath proclaimed, and or the Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of Zion, behold, our salvation cometh. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Isaiah 62:11. Now you see that when Yahshua comes, He has a work to do when He comes back the second time. Not just to receive His people. He's come back here a second time to repeat what He did the first time He came. First time He came, He went and chose 12 apostles. Ended up with 12. He started with 12, and He lost one, gained one, and then He lost that one, and then gained Paul as the 12th one, and set up the kingdom of grace, the Apostolic Nazarene Creed movement, and He left the apostles fortified with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit for their mission, and for the giving them all power under heaven for the accomplishing of their mission. For the setting up of, after the setting up of the purified congregation of the apostolic congregation. Behold, says the Yahweh, I have proclaimed unto the end of the world, not unto some other time, This divine proclamation, therefore, is for those who are living in the time of the end. Unto them the chapter is now unsealed, and their commission is for the taking of it unto the daughter of Zion. Unto the congregation you cannot therefore afford for the excusing of yourselves from this call for the service. Isaiah 62:1. For the Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Here we are told that the Yahweh will continue thus to speak, not for the sake of the world, but for the sake of the church, so that she may eventually stand on the Mount of Zion with the Lamb, that he will thus continue until the righteousness thereof go forth as a brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. This implies that the righteousness of his people at the proclamation of this chapter is but dimly, if at all, going forth, and that the salvation thereof is not now as a lamp that burneth, but as a lamp, the light of which is gone out. Its mighty effort is nevertheless to bring forth a great change, for the righteousness of Yahshua is for the shining forth as a brightness, as bright as the sun. For the conclusion then is that without the additional message, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will never reach her goal. And anyone's unconcerned attitude in this urgent call for the service is sure to bring his doom. The Yahweh's true people are, nevertheless, to awaken and embrace the call. Unto them, as a church says to Yahweh, Isaiah 62:2, and the Gentiles shall see thy righteousness, and all kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name which the mouth of Yahweh shall name. For the righteousness of the Zion shall be so pronounced that the Gentiles shall be attracted by it, and all their kings by her glory. It is for this very reason that the people, that the present church name cannot then be befitting her. As you know, there are now hundreds of church names in the world, as many names as there are isms, all of which are named by the mouth of men, although Yahweh recognizes but one congregation. Many of the names even suggest divine competition. For instance, do not the names Church of Yahshua and Church of Yahweh make Yahshua and Elohim competitors? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely befit the church and her righteousness as here projected. See, M.B. Jehoiada didn't know to use the name, sacred name of Yahshua and Yahweh. But I'm going to read that to you again and show you. As you know, there are now hundreds of names, or church names, in the world, as many names as there are isms, all of which are named by the mouth of men. Although Yahweh recognizes but one church, many of the names even suggest divine competition. For instance, do not the names Church of Christ and Church of God make Christ and God competitors? Whatever the new name be, it will entirely benefit the church in her righteousness as here projected. We are now living in a confused world. Some are of the Paul and some of the Apollos, as Cephas, Peter, John, and James, son of Yahweh, and son of Yahshua. Christians are thus bickering and quarreling among themselves, one speaking against the faith of another, and at the same time all are trying to convert to the Yahshua, the non-Christian world, put darkness unto the church, which Elohim is now creating, he said. Isaiah 52:3, thou shalt also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Yahweh, and a royal diadem in the hand of my Elohim. For the church here projected is to be made up only of a righteous spirited people. Her new name is doubtless for the expression of this fact. Wonderful indeed to be the Yahweh's crown of glory and his royal diadem. You certainly cannot afford to let this glory get away from you. Act today. Isaiah 63:4. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be termed desolate, but thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah, for the Yahweh delighteth in thee, thy land shall be married. Because Yahweh is to delight in her, and also because her land is to be married unto her, she is also to be called Hephzibah, and her land Beulah. The church in times past has been forsaken a number of times, once in Egypt and in Babylon and Rome and so on. But she is never again to be forsaken, and her land is never again to be left desolate. Isaiah 62:5. For as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee, and as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy Elohim rejoice over thee. Marriage signifies an everlasting union. Thus the church has the promise that her homeland shall now forever be hers, and her sons' converts shall never part from her. Isaiah 62:6-7. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace, day nor night. He that make mention of Yahweh, keep thy silence and give him no rest, that he establish until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now that he will set, but that he has already set watchmen that shall never neglect their duty night or day, and so you that now make mention of the Yahweh ought not to keep silent, but praise him and speak of his wonderful love and truth. Now is your opportunity to promote his cause, to make it your chief business, your chief interest, your highest joy. Now is the time to say, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave unto the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Psalm 137:5-6. Unto this end, pray and work. Give him no rest until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Let this be your delight as you are his delight. Isaiah 62:8-9. For the Yeshua, for the Yahweh has sworn by his right hand, Yahweh's right hand is his son, and his son's right hand is his and a typical king of his servant, and typical David, and by the arm of his strength. Surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemy, and the sons of the stranger shall not drink thy wine. For they which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yahweh, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. Elohim's people have been robbed time and again, and the most outrageous and unreasonable robbery that they have suffered has been and still is being done by their own brethren in the faith. How at every upward step in the truth throughout the church history and down unto this day. Those who have ever embraced new unpopular truth have in every instance been thrown out of the church which they helped build. This has been done only because, on the one hand, the majority have ever ruled, and on the other hand, only the minority have ever been as susceptible to present truth, to meet in due season. The time is here, though, in which all manner of the robbers shall cease. Under those who are being cast out, this encouraging counsel and promise is given. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye that tremble at his word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for my name's sake, said, let the Yahshua be glorified, but he shall appear unto your joy, and it shall be a sin. Isaiah 66:5. Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up the standard for the people. For the Yahweh now repeatedly asks everyone within the hearing of his voice to fearlessly go through Zion's gates and say unto her, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. We therefore cannot do otherwise but go through, for it is our Elohim given duty to prepare the way for the people. We must build a highway, a way for them to come over to the light of Yahweh, and thus into his kingdom. We must gather out every obstacle that stands in the way, and must lift up a standard for the people, a standard that they can see and follow as it leads ahead. Which could the standard be? For the very standard which the people are to see and to follow is Yahshua and his truth. Isaiah 62:11. Behold, the Yahweh hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye unto the daughter of Zion, this is the house of David, tribe of Judah, Behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. So this is the work of Yahshua with the house of David, starting in 2002 at Kermit, Texas. This verse, as we learned at the beginning of our study, clears two things. First, that this chapter definitely contains a message unto the Seventh-day Adventist Church at the end of the world. Second, that since it proves that this chapter is now, for the first time, being unsealed and brought to our attention, we are sent with a message to the church, and definitely so, that we have come to the time of the end, the time of which man-made institutions are forever to pass away. Okay, so for the word behold suggests that we should now take notice and be able to see that our salvation cometh, and that while his reward is with him, his work is still before him. What is his reward? What else could it be? Life forevermore. So it shall be that the first fruits, 144,000, the servants of Yahweh, who are soon to stand on the Mount Zion with the Lamb, shall be the first to be rewarded. As the servants of Yahweh, they shall carry on the work that is before him, the work of the gathering of the second fruits as set forth by the Isaiah the prophet. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape from the slaying of the Yahshua, the slaying of the Yahshua the Son, verse 16 of Isaiah 66. of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, Pul, and Lud that draw the bow, to Tubal and Avan, unto the isles afar off that have not heard my fame, neither have seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles, and they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Yahshua out of all nations upon horses and in chariots and in glitters and upon mules and upon swift beasts to my holy mountain. Jerusalem said to Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of Yahweh, Isaiah 66:19-20. For the choice is now yours, either to line up with Yahweh's truth for this time, to accept his salvation, and to prepare for the work that is before him, for the gathering of his saints, or for the remaining aloof and to be spewed out. Let us make the better choice. Now lest we soon find ourselves in the outer darkness, there to weep and to gnash our teeth. And Isaiah 62:12, and they should call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahweh, and thou shalt be called sought out, a city not forsaken. If you do all that the Spirit of Yahweh bids you to do, you shall be of the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua, sought out, not forsaken. And now, to summarize, the study opens with the word, Behold, the Yahweh hath proclaimed the end of the world to the church of today. She is to be the Yahweh's crown of glory and his royal diadem. No longer will she be called forsaken, nor will her land be called desolate. That these titles are to be changed, respectively, to Hephzibah and Beulah. Meaning Yahweh will delight in his people and their land. That Yahweh is to rejoice over his church as the bridegroom rejoices over his bride. That he has now set watchmen upon the walls of Jerusalem, who shall never neglect their duty. That they shall not keep silence, but they shall praise Yahweh and be zealous for to do whatever they can in the furtherance of his kingdom, that he has sworn by his right hand, his son Yahshua, and by the arm of his strength, the house of David, tribe of Judah, that he will no longer give his children's meat to the enemy, that strangers will no more rob them of that which they work for, that what they produce will indeed be their own, that his people have again and again been robbed of their spiritual light, that when the light of Yahweh came unto them, the enemies barred the light away from them, at least for a time, that we are now admonished to hear the word of Yahweh, for which cause the brethren and fellow church members hate us, so that they cast us out from among them. This they do, in the name of the Yahshua, that they shall be ashamed when he appears to our joy and to their shame, that we are commanded to go through the gates of the Laodicea, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and to prepare the way for the people, to cast up the highway, to remove the barriers, to raise the standard for the people, to show unto them that the Yahshua has proclaimed unto the end of the world, to tell the daughter of Zion, the house of David, that her salvation is coming. This is the tribe of Judah, and that his reward is with him, and his work before him, that those who escape the slaying of the Yahshua will be sent unto all nations and to the isles of the sea, unto the people who have not heard of the Savior, that they shall bring all their brethren to the house of Yahweh. You certainly now see that Zion's reward and her Yahweh's mighty effort to inform you of this truth, you surely will do all you can to escape Elohim's vengeance and to join the Suleiman's movement for the gathering of the people. Now this brings the end of that study. And we don't have but just a minute or two left. So that ends time of greetings, number one, number 42. The next study will be the year of his redeeming, the sign of the day of the vengeance. That's the study by May the 31st, 1947, by Vicki Holler. It's dealing with Isaiah 63. It says that we are to study the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. In this chapter, we find recorded a prophetic conversation among three persons. The prophet, the Yeshua, and a person living at the time of the prophecy of this chapter is fulfilled. So now, this person is antitypical Elijah David. So let's see what we're going to have here. We're going to have to finish this up in our next study. But the subjects of the conversation are Edom, ancient Israel. In other words, Edom is your Esau-ites. Ancient Israel, their deliverance from Egypt, and the people's redemption and the day that this scripture is fulfilled. That's in the judgment of the living day. That's the time that we're in now. For the part that should concern us most is to know the time to gain this information. I shall read verse 16. Thou that thou art our father, though Abraham be ignorant of us and Israel acknowledge us not. Though thou, O Yahweh, art our father, our redeemer, thy name is from everlasting, Isaiah 63:16. For the words of the person speaking in the behalf of the people who are brought face to face with the revelation of this chapter reveal that he and his people are unknown unto Abraham, since Abraham well knew of the rise of the ancient Israel, but understood practically nothing of the rise of the apostolic believers in the New Covenant, starting with the apostles at the cross. Then the apostolics must be the people of whom he is ignorant. So that would be us today. He's ignorant of us today. The antitypical apostolic of the Nazarene Creed, which is the house of David, that's one that Abraham was ignorant of. For the truth then stands out clearly that the chapter finds its fulfillment in the antitypical apostolic era. Now to find whether it is concerning the early or the latter day apostolics, we shall read verses 18 and 19, also Isaiah 64, 10 and 11. For the subject matter of the chapter 64 is but a continuation of chapter 63. And this brings the turn to our step this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call. And that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Under his wings, I am safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are far, still I can trust him, for now he will keep me. He has redeemed me, and I am his son. Under his wing, under his wing, who from his love can sever? Under his wing, my soul shall abide, safe he abides forever. Under his wing, Lord, our refuge in sorrow, and our yearning returns to His rest. Often when hurt has no fault for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, here from His love can sever. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safe in our body forever. Under His wing, oh, what precious enjoyment, and will our heart tell our trials of old. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Yeshua, I'm safe evermore. Under His wing, under His wings, who from His love can save me. Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safe beyond.